of my deep deliverance against his hardness caused him to join me with a low and guttural moan of his own. I had him. The control was mine. And as I began to raise and lower my head at a quicker rate, I knew I'd taste his seed in mere moments. Taking a hold of the base of his shaft, I bobbed my head up and down in a rhythmic and increasing speed as his body tensed. With a roar that filled the screened-in porch and blended with the sounds of the wild outside, Harley came in my mouth. The salty thickness as his dick flexed heavily against my tongue filled me with my own satisfaction. And as I swallowed every last drop, Harley's fingers laced in my hair, lightly massaging my scalp. I rested my cheek on the inside of his thigh, inhaling deeply as the intoxicating scent of Harley's pleasure filled my soul. 10. Marlowe. I often wake up in different environments, like a hotel or another man's bedroom, with a start. A bolt of fright surges through me for a split second as I come to the realization of where I am. I've always hated the unease of waking in a foreign bed, and especially if I woke up next to a man I barely knew. But this morning was different. There was no jolt of anything but contentment. I'd actually had an amazing sleep and woke with a sense of peace that I couldn't remember feeling in a long time, if ever. The sunlight cast its early morning rays through the large bay window that overlooked the bayou. The abundant trees, lush ferns, pussy willows, and Spanish moss draped over most of Mother Nature in a protective embrace, painting the perfect picture. One could lie in bed in these soft cotton sheets all day, staring out the window at the swampy beauty. So much light in Harley's airy room for such a dark man. Rolling over onto my back as slowly as I could in order not to wake Harley, that familiar bolt of fright attacked when I discovered him not lying in the bed beside me. It went away, however, when I saw a handwritten note on the pillow where he had once slept. "I left to pick up some beignets for breakfast. Coffee is in the kitchen. Help yourself to anything while I'm gone. I'll hurry back. Harley." I must have been exhausted to have slept through him sneaking out of bed and starting the boat to leave. I normally woke at the tiniest noise. I looked at the note again. I liked his handwriting, and I liked the fact that he was worried about feeding me and giving me caffeine in the morning. It made him more human, not the big bad boogie monster one would think when hearing the name Harley Crow. And what would that same one think of me, knowing what I'd done with the man last night? Wild, insane, hot as fuck. Everything was so new, so wrong, but so incredibly right. Who's afraid of the dark? Not me. Definitely not me. We still had 2 more days per the contract, and I had no idea how Harley could top last night, but I was pretty sure he would. That man. Now that I'd had my fix, I was sure I would become a full-fledged junkie. I wanted more. I wanted so much more. Deciding that I should try to clean up and be presentable by the time he returned with breakfast, I slowly climbed out of bed. My body still hummed in fading pleasure, though I ached in places as well. Yet the dull throb only made me crave for it to intensify again. But first, it was time to start the day. I needed coffee before hopping in the shower and realized my sexy black nightie wasn't exactly appropriate for anyone's eyes but Harley's. There was a possibility of running into Layla. Maybe she didn't have a kitchen of her own in the guest house. I wasn't exactly ashamed of my body or what I'm sure Layla knew we had done last night, but I still wanted to be more respectful in the morning light. I also didn't want to be that girl who just assumed I could take a shirt out of Harley's closet to wear, but I didn't really have a choice. He had said to help myself to anything. Padding barefoot against the cool, tiled floor to the double-door walk-in closet, I decided I wouldn't poke around too much. Find a simple T-shirt and close it up. I refused to snoop, even though Harley had practically handed the opportunity to do so over to me. I wondered what was inside all those drawers of his. More toys and implements like he had used last night. Did he have an arsenal of weapons he would use on women, just like I'm sure he had an arsenal of weapons stashed away all over his home to kill? When I opened the closet, I smiled widely. For some reason, I had actually expected to see what I saw before me. Black. I would have the choice of a black shirt or a black shirt to wear. And if I didn't like the black shirt, I could pick another black shirt. Every item of clothing was also perfectly ironed, not a single wrinkle in the fabric. Each shirt hung in a nice little organized row on wooden hangers. Even his shoes, black shoes, were lined up in a perfect uniform row. Nothing was messy, not a speck of dust in the far corners of the closet, not a cobweb to be found. This man kept an impeccable closet. Who in the hell kept an impeccable closet? Trying not to overanalyze why Harley was clearly such a clean freak, I pulled one of the shirts over my head and walked out of his room. A steaming mug of coffee was calling my name, though I practically felt high on life. I hadn't been this content and happy in so long. Oh my fucking God! Stepping into the living room was like being punched in the gut. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything but stare in disbelief. Layla was lying face down in a pool of blood. Her blood. Oh my God. Oh God. She was dead. She was fucking dead. I couldn't see her face. I didn't want to see her face. Thank God I couldn't see her face. Panic set in, though I still stood frozen in place. I couldn't stop looking at her. Layla. Layla. She was dead in Harley Crow's house. What was I going to do? Harley, I managed to scream, though my voice didn't match the intense ringing in my ears. My vision tunneled, and my heart thumped so hard against my chest it actually hurt. Harley! I screamed louder this time. Wait, he was gone. He'd left. Who did this? Who killed Layla? Oh, that poor woman. Do I call the police? Do I run? I took a cautious step toward Layla's bloody, limp body and examined it for any signs of life. There was so much blood. So much blood. I couldn't see anything or where her wound even started. Was her head bashed in? Was her throat sliced open? I couldn't tell because of all the blood. I glanced at the front door, but remembered that the only way to leave was by boat. Harley had the boat. There were other boats, but where were the keys? His house was safe, he had said, only one way on and off the property. It was safe? No, it wasn't safe. Layla was dead. Harley! I screamed again, though I had no reason why. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. Hysteria washed over me like an ocean wave tossing my nearly drowned body to shore, but not before dragging me along the coral-studded reefs, shredding my flesh to pieces. Harley's not here, bitch, came a deep man's voice from my right. Before I could comprehend what was going on, two masked men in all black rushed toward me. The bigger of the two grabbed me by the neck and threw me back against the wall. "Where is he?" the man asked. His breath smelled of cigarettes and coffee. He had blue eyes. That was all I saw other than black. A black mask inches from my face. I tried to shake my head, but his grip only squeezed more. "I don't know," I squeaked out. "Don't lie to me," the man said, pressing me harder against the wall. He left to get breakfast. I woke and found a note. It hurt to talk. It hurt to breathe. He was going to kill me. I would suffocate and be left for dead right beside Layla. The man didn't say anything to me, but waited as if I would have something more to say. "Fuck it," the other man said from behind my attacker. "Let's get out of here. We'll get Harley Crow another time." The grip around my neck weakened, and a shred of hope filled my core that I may actually get out of this situation alive. They had masks on. I wouldn't be able to identify them. Maybe they would allow me to live.
"Take her with us," the man from behind added. "Nothing will piss off Harley more than kidnapping his woman."
"No. No, 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 no. I'm not his girl," I said quickly, only being rewarded with the grip of my neck tightening once again.
"Shut up, bitch,"
the blue-eyed man demanded. He was angry. I didn't want him to be angry. But they had to know I wasn't Harley's girlfriend.
"We've been watching you since last night. We followed you here. We saw what you did. Don't fucking lie to us."
"I'm nobody to him," I wheezed out. "It was only last night. One night." The man took me by the throat and banged my head against the wall in warning. It wasn't hard enough to knock me out, but it certainly got my attention.
"I said shut the fuck up. Here, use this rope and tie her up."
The man spun me around and pulled my arms forcibly behind my back. The rope scraped against my skin as he weaved and looped it around my hands. "Please," I begged. "I swear I'm not Harley's girlfriend. We just had sex once last night. He won't care about me. Just let me go and I won't say a word. I'll leave. I didn't see you. All I see are masks." I said the words so fast, like rapid gunfire, in the hopes that I could get them out before he would force me to be silent again. A metal gun was placed at my temple.
"Say another word, bitch, and I will add your body to the pretty young thing over there on the floor."
When the rope was knotted and securely fastened around my wrist, I was spun around to face both men.
"Harley fucked with the wrong men this time, and he's going to pay."
I didn't say anything, even though I wanted to somehow make them see reason. I wasn't Harley's girlfriend. I had nothing to do with him or what he did to others. I was only a woman who lusted over a bad boy. A bad boy who was about to get me killed. They guided me toward the front door, not avoiding the pool of Layla's blood as they did so. I had no choice but to walk through it. The sticky wetness oozed between my toes and nausea took hold. I couldn't swallow the lump in my throat, and though the man's hand was no longer around my throat, I couldn't breathe. My legs threatened to buckle, but the thought of falling scared me. I didn't think the men would have any patience for my weakness.
"We're leaving bloody footprints all over the entryway," one man said. "Good. Let that asshole come home to find we killed one of his women and kidnapped the other. It will be our welcome home sign."
Harley's clean house. They'd ruined his perfectly clean floor. The funny thing out of all this is that the bloody footprints may upset him more than me being kidnapped. How could I get that through to these men? I was not Harley's woman. I wasn't the right person to be used as a bargaining chip. They'd fucked up when they'd killed Layla. Poor Layla. She would have worked, but not me. Not me. The bright morning sun rays forced me to squint as the men pushed me out the front door and down the stairs. The wooden planks of the dock heated the bottoms of my feet even though I shook from head to toe. In desperation, I listened for the sound of a boat engine approaching. Please come. Please have Harley pull up with those beignets. I squinted in the direction I remembered we had come from last night. Nothing. Nothing. As the men forced me into a speedboat of their own, I knew I was doomed. I remembered when I was a little girl, my father had told me to never get in a car with a man if someone was trying to kidnap me. He told me to scream rape and to fight with everything I had. He'd told me not to fear being killed right there, because if I got in that car, I would be dead anyway. But only after they raped and tortured me. My chances would always be better fighting rather than getting into the car. So here I was, not listening to my father and climbing into the boat without a fight. But even if I screamed rape, who would hear me? Plus, my hands were tied behind my back and one of the men had a gun still pointed at me. What advice would my father give me now? The man pushed me down to the floorboards of the boat out of sight from anyone who would pass us on the waters. When I sat balled up against the dirty metal hull, he reached for a long black scarf and tied it around my eyes. As he tied the knot too tight behind my head, I closed my eyes and took a deep breath. There was nothing I could do. I had to just allow the darkness from the scarf to calm my panicked thoughts. My only hope was that my captors wouldn't do what my father had said bad guys would do. I had to pray they wouldn't rape and torture me. And maybe, just maybe, when they soon realized that Harley had no intention of coming after me to seek revenge, they would see that I am not Harley's woman. I am not his woman. I had to hope. I had to hope that these men, hell-bent on hurting the notorious Harley Crow, would soon realize I was not a player in this twisted game. Although, I now had to play the game. I had to play along and be a good girl. Do not make them angry. Do not make them angry. "Drink this," one of the men ordered as he pushed a plastic bottle to my lips, forcing them open. I did as he commanded and swallowed the water that I knew was mixed with something. It tasted tangy and chalky. I didn't think it was poison. That would be too easy. I knew my death would not be as easy as drinking poisoned water. When I was done, I heard him toss the empty container to the side. I then felt him pull something over my head.
"I don't need to wear this anymore," he said. "My mask will help keep that blindfold on your face. We don't want you peeking now, do we?"
There was silence, and I only sat as still as I could. I couldn't see anything, and the mask was so thick that it made it hard to breathe in the muggy bayou air. I could smell the man on the fabric. Revolting. Stale. Musky. Dirty. And damp with his sweat.
"What's your name?" he asked.
"Marlowe," I answered softly. Yes, I would be that good girl. I had to convince them not to hurt me. As the engine started and vibrated beneath where I sat, curled in a scared, tiny ball, I did wonder what Harley would do when he walked into his house to find Layla dead and bloody footprints all over his living room. Would he call the police? Most likely, no. His kind did not involve authorities. Would he come after me? Maybe he would, out of pride alone, but there was no way he would even know where to look for me. He said himself last night that he had a lot of enemies. How would he know which enemy had kidnapped me? My body grew weary and my mind fogged over. I needed sleep. Sleep. My father had warned me. He'd always said to never get into the car with the bad guys. And that is what I'd done. I'd gotten into the car last night outside of Spiked Roses with Harley Crow, the baddest guy of all. And now I would die because of it. 11. Marlowe.
"Are you scared?"
Those were the first words I heard as I regained consciousness. I couldn't see. I was in the dark as a thick and suffocating fabric covered my eyes and face. I remembered the man's mask being put on me while in the boat. I couldn't move. My hands were still tied behind my back, and my feet secured to the legs of the chair I sat on. I had been kidnapped, and now strapped to a chair like I was in the middle of a horror movie.
Marlo. I know you can hear me, Marlo.
The voice was deep, calm, yet the evil laced throughout sent a small shiver up my spine.
I asked you if you were scared.
The voice chuckled, maniacal, depraved. I pulled against my restraints to no avail. I couldn't feel my fingertips, and my feet were losing feeling fast.
Did Harley Crow teach you how to play possum? He teaches all his women to play possum. But I have always been able to break them. Each and every single one of those weak women. And you, my dear Marlowe, will break as well.
I swallowed back my terror. Who was this man? What the hell was he talking about? Breaking other women? He knew my name. His voice was different than the men who had kidnapped me. There was an underlying accent that I couldn't quite pinpoint. Maybe Russian? I couldn't see the man. Was he in front of me? My head was still foggy, but I knew I was someplace else besides the floor of a dirty boat, and now I was no longer just kidnapped by two killers. I was a hostage. This man would use me. He had what he thought was one of Harley's women, and with that came power.
You don't have to say anything, my dear Marlowe. I don't need a solitary word out of you to get what I want. I won't need your words. I will simply need your screams.
I heard footsteps walk up behind me, and the mask over my head was removed, pulling off the blindfold at the same time. I blinked against the harsh fluorescent lights as I attempted to take in my surroundings. It was a white room, white walls and white tile floors. Nothing was in the room except for a large mirror that took up most of the wall in front of where I sat. A large metal door was to my right, and nothing else. No windows, no furniture other than the chair I sat on. Staring at my reflection, I saw a man standing behind me with the mask and blindfold in his hand. He stared ahead, emotionless, at attention, like the most stoic of military soldiers. He wore black pants, black boots, a black shirt that revealed tattoos covering every inch of his arms. Black, thick ink of some ancient tribal design ran from his biceps to the tops of his hands. He seemed robotic, so still I couldn't tell if he was even breathing. His eyes did not stare at me, but rather he stared straight ahead into the large mirror as if he could see right through it. He towered over me, over my tiny frame tied helplessly to a metal chair.
"Welcome to your new home, Marlowe," the voice said from a speaker I could not see. It appeared to be coming from behind the mirror.
The man behind me was not the voice. No. The voice was hidden behind the mirror like a coward. I took a deep breath, trying hard to conceal my fear. I did not want them to see my growing panic. I think it was what they wanted to see. They wanted me to scream and cry. Something deep inside of me whispered, "Stay calm. Stay calm. Stay fucking calm."
"Let's begin with introductions, shall we?"
the voice began.
"My name is Lucas Knox, enemy to your lover, Harley Crow, but I assume you already know that. And that monster standing behind you is Sadist."
I stole another quick glance at the man who still remained frozen. It was as if he could not hear that he had just been called a monster. Maybe he didn't care. Or maybe he was indeed a monster. Was his name really Sadist? Why would he call himself that? Fuck. Where the fuck was I? fuck? Where was Harley? Where the fuck was Harley? I stared back into the mirror, noticing that there was a different sort of glare coming from the reflection. Though I could not see Lucas behind the glass, the radiance of a dull light told me he was there.
Go ahead and look at him. I know you want to. Look at those hands that could snap your neck at my command.
Not being able to resist the urge, I moved my eyes ever so slightly to more clearly see how the man looked. I saw no reaction from the man called sadist. Lucas's words did not impact him at all. He remained in position. He stared. He stood ready for command.
Sadist will be your guard. He will be your master. He will be your everything until we decide what to do with you. But are you curious about what happens to you while we decide your fate?
I remained silent, continuing to stare ahead.
I will not break. I will not break. I will not break.
If I chanted the words enough in my head, I could make them true. This is what I was praying would help.
I would not break. Oh, Marlowe, you are a willful one. Though sadist here will eventually beat that stubborn pride right out of you. But for now, I will go ahead and tell you. If you look on top of the mirror, you will see a video camera.
I glanced up and saw a camera pointed at me. The red light was on. I looked toward the corner of the room to my right, then my left, and saw two other cameras which also appeared to be on.
You are on video for all to see, or at least for who we want to see you. But more importantly, for Harley Crow to see. I will have demands of Mr. Crow. If he chooses not to acquiesce to my demands, his poor woman will suffer the consequences before his very eyes. And if he meets all my demands, and you don't provoke sadist here to kill you with his bare hands, then you may be returned to the outside world alive. Maybe.
Lucas released another wicked laugh.
But most likely not. Though I promise you that if Harley is as stubborn as I think he is, and you have suffered the hand of sadist because of his foolish actions, you will beg me to kill you. I will simply be giving you mercy.
My heart thumped against my chest as the reality of his words sunk in. I shouldn't have allowed them to take me alive. I should have fought to the very death. I should have listened to the childhood warnings of my father. He told me I would be tortured. He warned me. Why did I not listen to him? I never listened to him. Now I would pay.
You are being recorded, Marlowe. Just know that right now Harley is watching your big brown eyes so full of terror. He is seeing you sitting there with your raven hair matted, you wearing nothing but your lover's shirt. Yes, he can see you are trying to be brave. You are trying to be stoic. You are doing everything he would do in your position. But that asshole who killed my brother will watch as sadist strips you bare, tortures you, violates you, and even gives you pleasure when I'm feeling particularly generous, and command him to do so. Because don't forget for one second that I have all the control, and that sick fucker, Harley Crow, will watch helplessly one moment, and then also watch while jacking off to what is being done to you in morbid fascination.
Lucas laughed loudly, the shrill sound bouncing off the walls of the room.
Harley Crow will finally be at my mercy, just as you will be at sadist's.
Sadist had not moved an inch. His black hair and black eyes only added to the appearance that he was death himself. His hands were clenched by his sides, his broad shoulders held back, and his head held high like he was a proud man. Yet he stood and did nothing as some sick bastard spoke of him like he was a captive slave at Lucas's mercy. Could he not hear what I did? Did he not want to shatter the two-sided mirror to reach the man who spoke the way he did? Did he then not want to grab a shard of glass and tear Lucas's jugular out, as I so desperately wanted to do?
I will avenge my brother's death. I'm sure you know what Harley did to him, how he tortured him, cut off his fingers and toes one by one. Were you there, Marlowe? Do you get off on watching Harley kill his victims?
I shook my head. I don't know anything about that. I wasn't there. I didn't know your brother at all. I swallowed hard as bile rose in my throat at the thought of this voice belonging to some vengeful man who believed I had anything to do with the torture and killing of a man. I'm not the person you think I am. I'm just a waitress at a gentleman's club in New Orleans, nothing more.
So let's begin, shall we?
Lucas continued as if he hadn't heard a single word I'd said.
There is no need for anyone to have to watch you sit in that dirty T-shirt. No man really wants to see a woman tied up and dirty. I mean, we like our women dirty, but not on the surface. No, we want you clean and lickable.
I clenched my jaw, fighting the rage that threatened to surface, as well as the hot tears that begged to be allowed to course down my face. I stared straight ahead and hoped he would listen to my plea if I could deliver it just right. "I understand you have reason to want to hurt Harley Crow. I understand that."
"Do you?" he asked. "Did he kill your brother?"
I shook my head, trying desperately to appear calm and collected. "I know you think that I am the perfect revenge on Harley, but you're wrong. I don't know him. I only came to his house last night. We only had sex once. I'm just a waitress he didn't even know existed before yesterday at..."
I paused and swallowed back the words spiked roses. I didn't want to risk putting anyone else in danger.
"The gentleman's club I work at. I came to his house one time, and that's it. I'm not his girlfriend, and he doesn't care about me. This plan of yours won't work because I'm the wrong woman. I don't think he will think twice about sacrificing me if he had to. I don't hold his heart. I don't."
"Come now, Marlowe. Lying and pleading is so unattractive. Harley Crow would be so disappointed in you. I would have thought he would have trained his woman better."
The tears I was trying so hard to hold back broke past their barrier. "Please, you have to believe me. I'm not lying, I swear it. I don't know what Harley did to your brother or anyone else. I don't know him. I'm a stranger to him." I choked on a sob, but continued on as tears ran down my face. "Please let me go. Please." I would not break. I would not break. I would not break. Fuck that. I was breaking.
"Your tears do nothing but make my dick hard," was his sharp reply.
Bastard. Fucking bastard. I swallowed back the next plea that demanded to pour past my lips. I wouldn't cry anymore. No fucking way. I would not make this asshole's dick hard, motherfucker.
"Sadist, stripper bear."
As if a button had been pressed, Sadist dropped the mask and blindfold he was holding and removed a switchblade from his pocket. My heart skipped, fearing what he would do with it. Were they going to cut off my fingers and toes like Harley had done to Lucas's brother? Would they do to me exactly what Harley had done to his victim? I'm sure it seemed fair in their eyes. A finger for a finger, a toe for a toe, a life for a life. Moving mechanically, like a robot, he took hold of my shirt and sliced it right down the front. Not once did he look me in the eye, or show the slightest bit of emotion. I wanted to struggle and try to fight against his actions as he carved through the fabric of my shirt, Harley's shirt, but I knew it was pointless. I sat naked on a chair with the cool air of the room washing over my flesh, but I would not show my feelings of terror and desperation any longer. I would not give Lucas the satisfaction of seeing my shame, my humiliation, and my fear of what would come next. I also tried to block out the fact that the red light still flashed on all the cameras. I could not allow my thoughts to go there, imagining Harley staring at my complete nudity as I was about to be tortured because of a belief there was something more between us. When Sadist had completed his task, he once again stood at attention beside me.
"Ah, you are quite lovely, my Marlow. Quite lovely indeed," Lucas said. The words sounded as if they slithered off his tongue. "Oh, we are going to have some fun with you. That body. Oh, that body."
I swallowed the bulge of disgust in the back of my throat, wanting so badly to beg for mercy. I could almost feel his lecherous eyes staring at my breasts as my nipples hardened against the cool air. I tried to close my knees as best I could, knowing that Lucas and Harley stared upon my sex on full display.
"Let me ask you something, lovely Marlow. Is Harley Crow a strict lover? Does he punish you when you are a naughty girl? I bet he's going to be so mad at you for allowing yourself to be captured. Would he punish you for not being safer and more aware? From what I have heard from my men, the house was unlocked and taking you was a cakewalk. They said you didn't even put up a fight. A scared little bird you were. Naughty, naughty. Harley must have taught you better. You couldn't possibly be the woman of a lethal killer and not know how to defend yourself."
I didn't say anything. No matter what I said, this man was clearly not listening to me.
"Sadist, I think we should do Mr. Crow a favor. I think we should punish this little scared bird as he would if he were here to do so. At least he will be able to watch."
I heard a wicked chuckle seethe from the speaker as Sadist came closer, clearly understanding exactly what Lucas had in mind when he spoke of punishment. Using the same switchblade he had used to disrobe me, he cut the ropes around my wrists and ankles that held me captive. Before I could process that I was free from my bonds, Sadist lifted me effortlessly off the chair and upturned me over his lap as he sat where I once had. My stomach came slamming down upon his thighs, and I stared down at the concrete floor, realizing I was being put over his knee like an errant child would be. Without saying a word or giving me any warning, Sadist spanked my bare ass with his large palm. The sting took the breath right out of me, more out of surprise rather than pain, but that soon changed as he continued firing off swat after swat, spanking every square inch of my upturned bottom. I wasn't sure if I should lie there, be stoic and just accept this humiliating act, trying to block out everything until he finally stopped the spanking, or beg for him to stop. Although the burn on my backside made that decision for me. "Stop," I demanded, trying to throw myself off Sadist's lap. The effort was futile because he only held me firmer against him.
"Continue on," Lucas commanded from the other side of the window.
Sadist did as he was asked and continued on with the spanking, slapping harder every time I tried to wiggle from his grasp. SWAT after SWAT, the shameful act seemed to go on forever, but I would not cry. I would not give these assholes the satisfaction of giving them what they wanted. I knew they wanted to hear my cries. Fuck them. I actually liked being spanked normally. It turned me on more than many sexual acts would, but this was not normal. I didn't want this. I didn't want sadist. There was nothing sexual about this discipline, and all I felt was pure and absolute rage. The fire in my soul far exceeded the fire on my ass, and the fact that Lucas watched like a damn coward made me want to kill the fucker. "Stand her up," Lucas commanded evenly. Without even skipping a beat, Sadist stopped the corporal punishment and stood me up on wobbly knees. If he hadn't had a strong hold of my right arm, I surely would have crumpled to the ground as the blood rushed back to my head. "Slap her breast." Sadist slapped my breast robotically. "Slap her other breast." He followed the order again, while I could do nothing more than stand before the mirror accepting the punishment. "Slap her pussy." Positioning his body slightly to get a better angle, Sadist swatted my pussy, sending a tantalizing bite through my core. It made me feel filthy. Fucking filthy. "Again," Lucas ordered. He did so with no emotion in his eyes. Did he not feel anything at all? "That is enough for now," Lucas's voice boomed throughout the room. "I think that is just enough to show Mr. Crow what is in store for his lovely Latina beauty." I could do nothing but stand, and there was nothing more for me to say. "Welcome to your new room, Marlowe. You will only leave this room to use the bathroom facilities. You are not an animal, at least not yet. So if you need to use the restroom, knock on the door and Sadist will escort you. I will be back to continue our fun little game later. Until then, make yourself comfortable." Sadist gathered all the shreds of fabric from the t-shirt I once wore, as well as the mask, blindfold, and ropes that had held me and exited the room, not once looking my way. The red lights of the cameras turned off, and the glare of the mirror faded. Lucas was gone. Sadist was gone. Even Harley Crow was gone, unable to see me anymore as I was held captive. I was alone. Shit. I was all alone. XII. Marlowe. I sat in the corner of my white cell with my knees pulled up to my chest. Curled up in this position was the only way I could feel some sense of control. I was able to conceal some of my nudity in case the red lights on the cameras returned. Though if what Lucas had said was true, then Harley and God knows who else had already seen my breasts, my sex, my naked, helpless body on display. I struggled to remain calm as panic beat against every ounce of control I had left. I tried to think of a solution, any solution at all. There was nothing in the room but the metal chair. It was bolted to the ground, so picking the chair up and using it as a weapon was not an option. Charging Sadist and trying to attack him with my bare hands was also not an option. It would be the same as me punching a brick wall. The man was solid and even more ominous than Harley was. I wouldn't have a chance, and the only thing I would do was upset him more. I had no options, at least not on my own. I had to hope that Harley would take pity on me and indeed meet the demands of Lucas regardless of what they were. Maybe Harley would care. Maybe he wouldn't want to see an innocent woman die. I truly believed that beneath the tattoos of skulls and death and hidden behind his dark eyes, There was a decent and kind man, the man who'd taken off his coat so that I would remain warm on his boat, the man who'd gently helped me in and out of it, the man who'd asked me questions because I could see he genuinely wanted to know the answers. Maybe Harley would get the other managing members of Spiked Roses involved in rescuing me. The idea of that actually gave me some hope. They were all powerful men in their own right. I knew they had connections in the dark underworld. Maybe if they all worked together, even if Harley didn't care, the others would. Wouldn't it send a bad message to the other girls at Spiked Roses if they allowed me to be kidnapped, tortured, and killed while on a tasting? And I knew Tennessee would care. He would demand my safe return. That man cared about me. He wasn't just my boss. He was my friend. I knew this. But would Harley tell them? I had no idea the rules of a criminal. How does one act? Would Harley meeting the demands of Lucas make him weak? Would it ruin his reputation? Would he have to choose me over his legacy? Rocking back and forth in a ball, I tried to breathe as evenly as I could. Terror consumed my bones and they ached. Chills ran down my spine, and I shivered uncontrollably. And what made it worse? The red lights turned back on. They were watching. They were watching me and probably getting hard off my fear. I was fucking afraid. I was terrified, and that fucker Lucas had a hard dick because of it. I examined the mirror, wondering if he was on the other side watching me. He didn't say anything, but I wondered if he was there. I balled myself up even more, trying to hide every part of me which would make that fucker want to jack off to me. Was Harley watching me now? I wondered what Lucas was doing. Was he sending the video through email? Was there some link? Shit, was I on some site where others could see me too? I bet there were sites out there for sick fucks to see girls like me scared shitless awaiting their fates, whatever that fate would be. I wanted to be Layla right now. At least in death I would find peace. She'd gone quickly, or at least I hoped she had. But she wasn't held captive, fearing what torture would come next. My fate would be worse than death, and I had to somehow wrap my head around what would happen. But the unknown was the worst part of it. Did they want me dead eventually, or would they just use and abuse me for a lifetime? But the torture had already begun. Time. Time was the beginning of the agony. I sat in that cold room for what felt like an eternity. Hours? Was it nighttime? Still day? Was it still Saturday? I just sat there and rocked, staring at the red light. But as time passed on, my fear turned to anger. I was tired of being the fucking victim. So goddamn tired. Stupid or not, I stood up and charged to the corner of the room and stared up into the camera. You stupid fucks. Get me the fuck out of here. You hear me? Get me the fuck out. I have nothing to do with Harley Crow. Nothing. You are making a mistake. Do you know who I am? Do you really want to know who the fuck I am? My father will kill you all. He will hunt you down and make you pay for what you are doing to me. His vengeance will be like nothing you can imagine. You hurt me, you kill me, you even touch me again, and he will slice your goddamn cocks off. You hear me? I paused as if I could hear them thinking. Balling up my fists and straightening my spine even more, ignoring the fact that I was completely naked as I demanded my freedom, I glared straight into the lens. I am the daughter of Juan Alvarez. He is the president of a Mexican MC in Oregon called the Quarrymen. And though you may not know who he is, or even what their club is all about, and the mayhem that they cause, You should fear them. They are ruthless and deadly. Killing his daughter would bring down the wrath of every member of that group. I licked my lips and took a deep breath. I hated saying those words. Despised it. I'd left all that behind. Ran away so I would never have to think of that world again. But I had no choice. I had to use the only cards I had, and those were my father and his club. "You may think you'll get away with this," I continued. "You may think that you are only going to piss off Harley Crow and feel you can handle his fury, but you have no idea what my father will unleash. He will find out. He will hunt you down. He will make you pay. So let me the fuck out. Let me go, and we will all just forget this disgusting shit happened. I will go back to my job, and you can seek your revenge in some other way. You fucked up by kidnapping me. You have no fucking idea how much you did. Turn off this damn camera and let me out of this fucking cell, or else..." I stood there and waited. Waited to see the lights turn off. I waited to hear the door open. Nothing. Nothing. Fury bubbling to the surface and exploding over, I stormed over to the glass window and began to pound my fists on it. I knew I wouldn't be able to break the glass, but I sure as hell would get their attention. Over and over, I pounded as I screamed in rage, not fear, rage. "You stupid motherfucker! You will pay for this! You will fucking pay!" I had no idea how long I pounded and screamed, but eventually exhaustion took over. Returning to where I'd once sat balled up, I resumed the familiar position. I'd tried. I'd prayed that dropping my father's name would be enough. But apparently, these men did not fear an angry motorcycle club. They should. They definitely should. It bothered me that Harley knew of my past if he was watching this video, even though it really didn't matter at this point. I hadn't told a soul in New Orleans of my roots back home. I'd never wanted people to know what I was escaping. My past was a demon I was locking away in my closet with the boogeyman I never saw growing up. I was fleeing from the violence, the crime, and the death. I never wanted to see it again. I didn't want to become my mother, who was just an old lady and had learned to keep her mouth shut and do what she was told, which usually meant looking the other way. I would never be an old lady, as they like to call their women. No fucking way. So I'd left. Left it all behind. Or so I'd thought. Here I was, though. Violence, crime, death. I'd left it all behind, only to only walk right into it with someone else, and worse. The minute I'd seen Harley Crow, I should have run the other way. I knew better. I fucking should have known better than to lust after a bad boy. He was my history repeating itself, and I'd strolled right into it. Hell, I'd signed in blood to enter into it. What a fucking fool I was. I was worse than my mother. I had not only become her, but so much worse. I hated how she was at the mercy of a man, my father. But I, too, was at the mercy of a man. Harley Crow, and all that came with him. God, I was a fucking idiot. Resting my head on my knees, I closed my eyes. Maybe I could sleep. Maybe I could just disappear and get lost in my dream, never to wake up to the nightmare I was living. I wasn't sure how long I had sat there, wallowing in my own misery, when the door finally opened. Looking up, I tried not to cry out when I saw Sadist enter the room. He stared at me, yet it seemed as if he looked right through me, emotionless, eyes of a killer. I assumed that if he didn't care or get attached to the victim, it made it easier for him to do whatever was necessary. Oh, God, what would be necessary? Bending down, he took me by one of my arms and lifted me to standing. "Please," I whispered, "you have this all wrong. Please, help me. Get me out of here, I beg you." I knew deep down that pleading with this man, a soldier of Lucas's, would be futile, but I still tried anyway. He said nothing but dragged me toward the doorway, with his hand gripped firmly on my upper arm. I don't know why, but the idea of being taken from the room scared me even more than being locked inside. It was the unknown. "Where are you taking me?" I asked, trying to keep up with his long strides as he walked me down a hallway. Everything was concrete and gray, with no windows anywhere. It seemed we were in some bunker or industrial warehouse someplace. There were no signs of life other than Sadist and me. He didn't answer, though I didn't expect him to. He hadn't said a single word since I'd first laid eyes on his monster self. He kept dragging me down the hallway until we reached another metal door. He placed his big palm on the door and pushed it open, shoving me inside. He didn't follow, and with a quick glance around, I saw why. It was a restroom. There was one toilet, one sink with a small mirror over it, and a tiny window with bars near the ceiling. There was no way to escape, but I was positive that Sadist had made sure of that fact, or he wouldn't have left me in there by myself. Realizing that I had been in the white room for quite some time, I squatted over the dirty toilet seat. Then, while washing my hands, I stared into the mirror and cringed. Black mascara ran down my cheeks, and my hair laid limply around my face in wisps of tangles. Using the water from the sink, I washed off the makeup and tried to tame my black strands to the best of my ability. I had no idea why I was allowing vanity to even come into play at a time like this, but it was the only thing I could control at the moment. I glanced at the door and wondered how long I could remain in here before Sadist would enter to retrieve me. Would that anger him? Did I care? Taking a weary step toward the door, I froze when I heard the sound of a gunshot. The sound vibrated off the walls and resonated in my soul. Why was there gunfire? Was Lucas killing someone? Surely that wasn't Sadist killing anyone. I was pretty positive that Sadist hadn't left his post from outside my door. Or was it Harley Crowe? Had he found me? Was he rescuing me like some knight in shining armor? Not being able to take the unknown any longer, I ran toward the door and peeked out. Sadist wasn't there. No one was there. The hallway was completely empty. Sadist must have run off to see what the gunfire was all about. And then there was another in the distance, and then another. Loud metallic booms echoed all around me, screaming at me, demanding that I run for safety. This may be my only chance of survival. Regardless what the gunfire meant, it gave me an opening. Run! Run! Not caring that I was naked or had no shoes on, I charged down the hallway faster than I had ever run in my life. I had no idea where it would lead me, and for all I knew, it could land me right back into the waiting arms of Lucas. But I had to try. I had to take my destiny into my own hands. And even if I were to be captured again, at least I would die fighting. Reaching the end of the corridor, I took a sharp right, hoping I would eventually see an exit of some sort. Reaching another hallway that gave me a choice of turning right or left, I chose left. I chose poorly. Before I could even see it coming, I was snatched from behind and thrown up against a hard body. A hand came crashing down on my mouth as I was held captive in two extremely strong arms. I couldn't struggle. I couldn't move. My back pressed against a chest, and I knew it was over. Over.